my boss at work. It's not up to the elders and deacons. It's up to me. Are you tracking with me? There's some things that we set as goals that are great desires, but they're lousy goals. You desire to have strong, healthy cattle. There's a whole mess of stuff, as you know, that can mess that goal up. It's a great desire, but not a great goal. Okay? Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting everything that lies behind and striving forward to what lies ahead, I press on. That's a work. That's something I have to decide to do. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, that if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keeping your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, they glory in their shame, with mindset on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to the likeness of his body by the glory that enables him even to subdue all things unto himself. That's our primary text for this morning. Just want to remind you quickly of last week's devotional. We looked at lessons we can learn from fathers. We talked about Paul. He says, be imitators of me. And in my life, I hope that there is something that my kids said that's worth imitating. I know there's a whole list of things they say that's not worth imitating, and that's valid. But may they have something that they see in me that's worth imitating. Two, we looked at Abraham. He was the father of the faithful. He was declared righteous because he believed. What we believe is critical. And it goes on and says, and Abraham believed God, and he was a friend of God. I want to be regarded as God's friend, that I simply believe him and walk with him. We looked at David, anointed king, and then years later, there's some question whether it was 15 or 20 years before he actually became king, after he was anointed king, and he had to wait. And there's things that you and I have to wait for in life. You know, we're in the microwave age. I've always, I thought, if you got yourself a good instant coffee and put it in the microwave, you get coffee so fast you'd actually go back in time. It hasn't worked yet. But I see that all around me today. I see young people coming up. We see them going through the store, having part-time jobs, and they're going off to university. And they want what mom and dad's got. They forget it took mom and dad 35 years to get it. We need to learn to wait upon God. I'm not preaching at your young daughters, but if there's a lesson there, I hope I helped you, Dad. And then we look quickly at Barabbas, not Barabbas, Barnabas, the exhorter. And he sold a piece of land, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. We would be generous people. And that's one thing I hope my kids are able to say. Mom and Dad were generous. They weren't cheapskates. When we were in college, Lynn was working. We got married, and at the end of first year in college, she was a nurse. I was a student. 29, being a student. And we go out once in a while. One of the pastors would go out with us. You never saw anybody move so slow for their wallet in your life. We always ended up paying. My wife took me aside one day, and she says, when you're a pastor, you ever do that, I'll smack you silly. That explains a lot to you, doesn't it? Yeah. Right? So lessons we learned. By way of introduction, I want to talk just briefly the dictionary definition of confidence. A feeling of consciousness of one's power or of reliance on one's circumstances. Had perfect confidence in her ability to succeed. Met the risk with brash confidence. 1B of the definition, faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. Have confidence in the leader. I've come to the place after many years of living that I don't have a lot of confidence in my flesh. One of the points we're going to talk about in the devotional is Paul said the same thing. Well-trained, well-educated. He said, the things I should do, I don't. The things I shouldn't do, those are the things I do. I have found that's true in my life. If I have confidence in my flesh, I'm in trouble. That's when I have the biggest mess-ups. The word vulnerable, and I refer you to a website, but you're not alone. Many people grapple with vulnerability. If you tend to keep things bottled up or ignore problems, it's important to learn how to be vulnerable. You can't get assistance from the Holy Spirit or from the Word of God or from friends around you except you be honest, and sometimes when you're honest, you become very vulnerable. Amen? It's a reality. Not only is it a key to emotional change, but vulnerability can also help make friends, learn new perspectives, and succeed in therapy. I have a few people that contact me at least once a week. One or two contact me once a day, and we're in an accountability thing together, and we walk. And that's a vulnerable situation for people to say, "I've been on track today," or "I blew it," whatever. It's tough. So we have read Philippians 3:1-2. Major point in the devotional this morning, number one, is rejecting confidence in the flesh. If you're trusting your own ability, your own strength, your own capacities, you're on dangerous ground. Because God wants us to understand that we can't do it without Him. And every once in a while, He pulls the rug out from underneath us just to get our attention. That we would know where our strength is, and it's not in ourselves. It was a long week this week, Tuesday. When the truck came in Monday, we had a lot of stuff, and we had to get ready for the truck coming in on Thursday. And my main assignment I had to ignore because we were short staff, and we had to get the general stock out, which meant I spent a lot of time on my knees. Boy, I tell you, Wednesday, I could hardly get up and down the stairs. And I hate bending over, Joseph, but Thursday and Friday, and Saturday, I wasn't going on my knees. I get it in there. Yeah. You're like, yeah. Yeah. Wayne, you're a carpenter. I've complained to carpenters about this. You know, at my age, I need the floor raised a little bit, and they keep telling me it won't help. When you trust your flesh, you trust your own abilities, your own strength, you're going to come to a place often designed by God that shows you can't have confidence in the flesh. It's going to fail you. Amen? I have to open myself to the vulnerability of confessing that that is true. Philippians 3:3-4, Paul says, "For we are the circumcision." You are the circumcision was a sign of the covenant that Abraham had entered into with God. It's interesting. God entered into a covenant with him before the sign was given. We are circumcised in our hearts. There is a covenant promise that you have embraced. We're the true circumcision, he says. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. That's a position I have to adopt. I don't trust myself to tell the truth all the time, to be kind all the time, to bless all the time, to give thanks all the time. I have to remain in a broken state to allow the Holy Spirit to do that in me. As soon as I think I can do it, hardness comes in. Hello? He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he goes on, he says, I'm boasting. He says, I know I'm boasting, but I'm making a point to you. You think you got credentials? You know? I sing really well in the shower. What are you laughing at? He's thinking, we could put a shower booth in right here, you know. Yeah. But it, when I get up here and I open my mouth, it all goes to pot. Yeah. Josh, here's the mic. Yeah? Know your own limitations. Don't trust in what you can do. Yeah? One of the things I really appreciate about our musicians, when they're able to perform, they want to be doing it every week because they're diligent. It's one thing to have a gift. It's another thing to hone that gift. You know, I've seen some that just get up and fly by the seat of their pants. If you got enough talent, you can fake it. But Helen, I'm not going to speak on your behalf, but you've said this more than once. One of the things that you appreciate about our musicians, especially the Nets and Lemon, they did it last week. When you guys get up and you do the music, there's an anointing. And you can't fake that. Talent won't do that. But you discipline. And you told me, we did our rehearsal the other night. Good. Thumbs up. I prepare notes. We put it in the bulletin. We put it in the overhead. I've been at this long enough. I could get up. I could open the Bible, and I could give you something. It may even be worthwhile. But I want to give you something of substance, so you put the work in. You know, and then you get it to the tech people. You get it to Eleanor to get it in the bulletin. You get it to Tim to get it up on the screens. Dave, you're doing an outstanding job. You really are. My first computer, I got a book entitled Microsoft for Dummies. It wasn't dumbed down enough. I didn't know that you had to go into the menu to turn the computer off. I just pushed the button again. Yeah. So I appreciate what you're doing, dude. Don't trust the flesh. Philippians 3:7 says, Whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ Jesus. Listen, that's vulnerability. I'm not going to trust it, you know. I had someone say, hey, why don't we just take one of your old messages and, you know, bring it up. You must have, you know. And I showed Landon. I'm a computer deadhead. He was putting what was on the computer onto my memory stick for me. And I've got close to 1,000 messages because I've been doing this for a while. I don't dust off old ones because I need a fresh word. Easy to do. But what does it profit? You know? Whatever is gained, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Let it go. Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. God wants to change me. And that means I need a fresh word. Every day. Every day. One of my favorite portions of Scripture, and it's on the screen on Philippians 1:6, but the Old King James says, being confident. This is where my confidence is supposed to be. Not in the flesh, having no confidence in the flesh. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting me to hold on to salvation. I'm trusting him to hold me. Amen? I'm not going to give you a list of the times I've messed up, but I've messed up lots. But Jesus has always held me. I am sure of this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where my hope is. Not in me. Not in my ability to walk faithfully. Not in my ability to try to be a good husband or to be a good father or to be a good employee or to be a good teaching elder. My confidence is in the Lord. Put no confidence in the flesh. Amen? Okay? So that's a daily thing for me. I mean, part of my morning procedures is reading Scripture and then just having a short prayer time. And the three P's that I use, pardon, priority, and purpose. And I have to seek pardon on a regular basis. Yeah. I think one of the reasons that God's got me working in a food store is because people can irritate you. Honest to goodness. I was delighted to see you two yesterday. But there's some that come in. You want to go have coffee break. Delapo says, oh, I was going to stop and see Lynn, but I saw her working in the yard. And I told Lynn, and she says, she should have stopped. You know, there's people that, you know, there's some. You know, like, I found a frozen thing in the cooler. And I found a cooler item in the freezer. You get some people that come in and they're just playing games. They're moving stuff around on you. You know? And I'm not, oh, Lord, bless them. You know, I'm kind of looking for, you know, hellfire and brimstone. You know? Hello? Come on, is it just me? Be honest. Come on, be vulnerable. Yeah. There's times that you can get a little miffed. Realizing the weakness of the flesh, major point number two. The word propensity, the meaning of that is an inclination or a natural tendency to behave in a particular way. I have certain propensities. My wife and my daughters refer to me as being anal. My son would probably agree if he knew what it meant. I have certain bends. You have certain bends. And not all of our bends are honorable to the Lord. There's a few bends he wants to straighten out. Hello? You know? And Paul struggled with that. He Romans 7, 21 and 25, he says, so I find it to be that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Every time I read that portion of Scripture, I'm reminded of Cain and Abel. And Cain brought an unworthy sacrifice to the Lord. And he says, why are you downcast? If you were to do that which is right, would I not have received it? But behold, sin lays at your door. There are, listen, not everything in our lives is upright before the Lord. They're forgiven. They're blood washed. But he wants me to have victory. Hello? Okay? For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. I know most of you fairly well. You got a passion for the things of God, but there's times we mess up. Hello? There really are. He says, but I see in my members another law waging war against my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. There are certain bends and propensities in my old nature, in the flesh, that work against the things of God. And I need to seek that one. The one thing is to gain Christ. But I can't gain Christ if I cling to what's not right. And that's vulnerability, letting it go, and knowing that I can't do it. And then Paul says, wretched man that I am. Now, you've got to understand where Romans 7 is. This is deep. Don't miss it. Romans 7 is right between Romans 6 and 8. Okay? If you get nothing else today, get that. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And we're raised into newness of life. And he goes on and says that you don't have to be a servant of sin any longer. And then at 7 he says, man, he says, I love the Lord. He's in my heart, I want to do the right thing. But when it's before me, the thing I should do, I don't. And the thing I shouldn't do, that oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? 25, he says, thanks be to God. Hallelujah. And then 8. There is therefore now. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? O wretched man that I am. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Understand things in context. Don't take them out. Paul's saved by grace. He knows this. He knows that he has the power to yield himself where he chooses. But when he seeks to put that into practice, He says, I struggle. The things I should do, I don't. The things I shouldn't do, those are the things I do. Oh, wretched man I am. Who will deliver me? Praise be to God. There is therefore now no condemnation. And how does the 8th chapter end? There is therefore now no separation. Hello? No? God's for you. Okay? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ the Lord, so then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve sin. He says, I'm looking for the victory. I'm moving towards that. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah? I was doing pretty good early in the new year, losing some weight. And then all of a sudden we had a bunch of staff vacancies. You know? And you know? So at work at my coffee break, a bagel with a slice of cheese and some jam is just very satisfying. It's not helping the diet. You know? Hello? You know? I'm not going to pick up, I'm struggling with smoking. I can't find that in the Bible. But you know what I did find in the Bible? If a man be given a gluttony, let him put a knife to his throat. That was his version of amen. Yeah? John, deal with your own issues. Stop casting stones at others. Hello? Well, it's true, whether you believe it or not. All right. Third major point, repenting from walking in the flesh. I should have known something was going to happen physically this week because I knew where I was going in the message. Knew what the Lord was saying to me. I hadn't put it together until Wednesday. Got it off to Tim. He's got it on the thing for David this morning. They're up at the cabin. They're having a nice break. Probably one of their final farewells with Landon before he goes off to university. I should have known something was going to happen. Because I have found every time I go to preach something, either I've just gone through it, or I am currently going through it, or it's coming around the corner. You know? And the Spirit's trying to give me the heads up. Romans 8:34, for God has done with the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. How? By me doing it? No. Who walked not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God's doing a work, if I'll let him. I've used this illustration before, but it's valid. I'm kind of like our old dog that we had, Moby, you know. If I'm in the wrong situation, I do what I want. You know, watching Lynn or the girls try to, you know, it was a job for them to hold the dog. You know, when Johnny took the dog, I'll never forget the day Jack Jackson pulled into the church parking lot in Grenfell, and he's getting unloading, and Johnny's got the dog on the leash, and Moby sees them. She's a fairly big dog. She takes off across the parking lot. I love my son, but not real quick. He didn't let go of the leash. And he's being dragged across the park, and all I could think of was, let go. Let go of the leash, you know. You're going to get beat up, you know. And sometimes in my life, I'm the dog on the leash, and I'm doing my own thing. And I'm not yielding to the Holy Spirit. I'm just being honest with you, you know. And I know enough of you to know that you're like that sometimes too. Just saying. If the shoe fits Cinderella, wear it. Romans 8:6. To set the mind on the flesh is, in the Bible, death is separation. To die physically is to have the spirit and the soul separated from the body. To have spiritual death is to be separated from God. God will never leave me nor forsake me, but can I tell you something? There's times I've walked away from Him. He was there with me, but I had shut off my sensitivity to Him. And then I get kind of whacked in the back of the head and I come to my senses, you know, and He's right there waiting for me. I don't have to go looking for Him. He's right there. Romans 6 and 6. We know that our old self was crucified with, shouldn't be there, was crucified in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. You have the capacity to be set free from sin because Christ lives in you. You have the capacity to be set free from sin because the Holy Spirit is in you and with you. And more than that, He wants to come upon you with anointing power. But I have to decide to yield to the Holy Spirit. How many here remember the old Wizard of Id cartoons? Gee, Dave, come on. You're an Irish. Do you remember the Wizard of Id? Thank you. Yeah. One of my favorite cartoons of the Wizard of Id. Remember Rodney, the real brave knight? What a coward. He's riding his horse. He comes to the intersection. There's a sign that says yield. And the next frame, he's down on one knee with his sword out. There's no enemy, just a sign that says yield. John, yield to the Holy Spirit. John, yield to Christ in you. John, yield to the Word of the living God. Am I prepared to bow my knee? By the way, that's the primary meaning of the word worship. You look up at worship. Worship in the Hebrew had nothing to do with singing praises to God. That was praise. Worship was to get down. Getting your face before God. Get down. You know? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind, proving what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. John, get down. Yield to the Lord. You know? I'm part English. You know, stiff upper lip and all that sort of thing, you know? You know? What was it? 1 Samuel 15? Rebellion is the same thing as witchcraft, and stubbornness is the same thing as idolatry. I don't think I'm stubborn. My wife would have a different opinion. You heard that, eh? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. For sin will not have dominion over you, since you're not under the law, but under grace. And don't forget, what you know, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. How were you saved? You were not saved by an attitude of God. You were saved by God came in the flesh, walked obediently before Him, was illegally tried, crucified, and buried, and rose again, and now lives in you. That's how you were saved. Grace is the Bible word for the power of God working in you. You know? There was a particular lady who was Christian that rented a house to my daughter, and they asked her, there's no front steps. That's illegal. Her response was, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. That's not what it's saying. You know? Next time you can stop for speeding. You were driving this morning, you said. Yeah. Just look at the offering. I'm sorry, sir. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. Take my word for it. Doesn't work. As you know, I like to wear my RCMP cap, you know, because you know, my brother was in the forest and your son's in the forest. And I was coming out of church when we were pastoring in Swift Current and Evangelical Mennonite, and one of the dear saintly Mennonite ladies looks at me and she says, so Pastor John, How many tickets do you have to get before you get a free hat? Caught me flat-footed. About 3 in the morning the next day, I thought of a comeback, but it was too late. Yeah. Listen, that's not what that verse means. What that verse means is, listen, God is in you and with you. His power is able to set you free. Yield to it. Have no confidence in the flesh. Amen? Last major point this morning. Receive the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 18. I was doing my Bible reading yesterday morning. And I want to just talk about yielding to the Holy Spirit. In Numbers 31, I was reading here the other morning, they're ordered to destroy the Midianites. Not Mennonites, Midianites. Then the officers who were over the thousands of the army and the commanders of the thousands, the commanders of the hundreds, came near to Moses, and Moses said, "Your servants have counted on the men of war who are under your command, and there's not a man of us missing." That's not confidence in the flesh. Listen, God was with them, and not they went to war, they defeated them, and not a man was missing. God wants to work through you. He doesn't want you to work for him. There's a difference. Let the Lord work through you, and not a thing will be missing. Okay? There's a difference. Have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? Romans 8:8-11. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If I'm going to insist on walking in my Christian life, in my flesh, in the power of what I can do, he says that you're going to fall short. You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that's the fact. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's in you. Okay? Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. I need to confess my weaknesses and invite the Holy Spirit, not just every day, but regularly throughout the day. Every believer, I don't care what denominational affiliation they have. They can be non-denominational, which is a denomination in my opinion. What denomination? I'm non-denominational. There's 8 million of you. If you're truly a believer in Christ, you have received the resurrected Christ in you. You have received the Holy Spirit. Fact. Okay? I'm Pentecostal charismatic. It's very important to me that I don't make somebody who doesn't walk in that experience feel like a second-class citizen. They have the Holy Spirit. Truth of the matter is, I don't always walk in the Spirit. Hello? Okay. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the sense in the Greek there is be continuously being filled. Joseph knows just by looking at me that man has had more than one meal. His pharmaceutical training has come true. That man has had more than one meal. You know something? I have more than one meal a day. I believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's not a one-time experience. It's something that I must seek out on a regular basis. You know? This coffee cup, I fill it more than once because there's a hole in it. The Bible talks about us having this treasure in earthen vessels. We're supposed to be crackpots. You're supposed to be leaking the Holy Spirit out to the world around you and being continually filled so you can continue to leak out the presence and the power and the wonder and the majesty and the beauty and the glory of the living God. And if you think you can do that on a one-time fill, that's inconsistent with Scripture. Luke 11, 13. This is the prayer. It's parallel to the one in Matthew 6, then you got Luke 11. And he's given instruction to pray. And he says, prayer is like when a man comes to your house at night and you got no bread to give him. So you go to your neighbor's house and you knock, and the guy says, go away, I'm in bed, you know. And you keep knocking and you get bread and you give it. And it's not bread for you. It's bread for your guest that's come and you got nothing to give them. You know, tomorrow, you may feel like you got nothing to give. And God will bring somebody to your forefront that needs something. But you got nothing to give. And what are you going to do? You're going to go to God. He says, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. And he goes on, he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to you, what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask. There's no mystery here. It's just being vulnerable, saying, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I struggle with things. Lord, I got attitude problems. Lord, I got frustrations. I got history that I have to deal with. I don't know how to deal with it. And I'm struggling to understand that you were actually there in the midst of that. And I need that inner, and Lord, I don't understand all your, but I need your Holy Spirit. And guess what? He says, he'll give me. But if I refuse to ask and walk in my own strength, it's going to bite me. That's my encouragement to you this morning. Is seek the Holy Spirit. Don't have no confidence in the flesh. Understand that there's a bend in your flesh that is against God. That God wants to make the way. He wants you to walk in the Holy Spirit. And how do I do that? Simply invite Him in on a daily basis. You know, several times during the day. I kid you not. I'm not trying to blow my own horn or anything. But there was two or three times yesterday at work that I was getting a little tired. I was getting short. I don't normally work 40 hours a week. 32 hours a week at the store is nothing. And there were certain things that were getting me. I had to, thank God I was supposed to be doing, one of my responsibilities was the freezer. I could walk into the freezer, pull the door closed, and stand there and just, you're in the freezer, so you just cool off whether you want to or not. You know. and pray and say, God, that, you know, everybody I work with is doing the best they know how to do. You know? How many have heard this old saying, if you want something done right, do it yourself? But nobody learns that way. We were coming back from vacation one time when we were in Pocatello, what was that? Not Utah, Idaho. And we were getting the kids settled in their room, and we had the TV on, and this comedian was on. And he said, my dad was, he was always working on stuff, and hand me the 5/8, not the half inch, you idiot, the 5/8. And I was having flashbacks to my childhood, and hold the light over here, you dummy, And he says, I thought to myself, prison or college? I got out 2 weeks ago. Hello? That was my dad's philosophy. If you want it done right, do it yourself. But I didn't learn as much as he knew. You got to learn to walk in the Spirit and help people reach their potentials. And you know something? The Holy Spirit wants them to, And he wants to use you and I to help them get there. And John, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, let's stand. Closing hymn, and then Sam, I'm going to ask you to come up after the hymn and get you to close in prayer. Samuel.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste.
If you have an enlarged prostate, you must.
Glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song.
Sure. So a while ago, well, I guess for a while, I've been actually struggling with smoking. And so I've been relying on a lot of the men here at church for accountability. And actually, tomorrow I'll be celebrating 2 months clean. So, yeah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time that we could be here together and that we can worship you. God, we want to thank you for John leading us in the message. And God, we just want to pray that that we would rely on you, God, for our strength. God, I can testify that my own strength is nothing, but God, because of you, we can walk in victory and that we can be freed from the vices of the devil. And God, I just want to pray that as we would go through this week and the coming weeks, I just want to pray that you would help us to look to you, God, that we would fully rely on you for everything that we need. God, you will give us what's best, and we thank you for that. Just pray, continue to walk with us in this coming week, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.